Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Andy K. Wait, what? Oh, I did. Listen, I say it with confidence, and then you cut in.
I like pointed at the screen. I was like, you?
I was ready. Okay. And now to pass it, I've been joined by
Derek Kostyaha, finally.
Oh, I'm sorry, Derek.
It was a bit of a roundabout. Listen, I didn't try to steal the attention this time, okay?
You didn't.
But I do want to steal the attention.
What'd you do?
I don't feel good.
Oh yeah. You didn't feel. Are you still not feeling good?
Yeah, so I'm trying to figure out, okay, what's the symptoms of food poisoning?
I mean, fatigue, okay. Nausea.
Yes.
Sweats.
Yes.
Chills.
Yes. So yesterday.
Also, those are also the symptoms of COVID. So
right. Well, yesterday I had a tiny bit of a piece of seaweed that was like flavored with cilantro or something. Like everybody in the office was trying it because it looked so disgusting. That I later found out when I went to go yell at the guy about it. He told me his neighbor gave it to him because his neighbor had lost 150 pounds and she thought he would like it. And it was like, oh, okay. I see what you're saying. I guess you can lose 150 pounds eating disgusting seaweed. But I ate it and then I got nauseous and
was
no
like
one
immediate?
Else. What's that?
Was it immediate?
Yes, it was immediate.
No, it was food poisoning then.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Food poisoning can take 24 to 72 hours to actually kick in.
But usually it's pretty quick.
Oh, mine was like literally within a minute.
Yeah, no, that's not food poisoning.
Oh, well then, I just thought it was gross.
No, you can have it within a minute.
Food poisoning? Well, at first it was just nausea. And then I was like, oh, I'm just being a baby, Andy. Plus, I do not want to throw up at work. Those toilets are gross. I'm not doing it. And then, but I left work early because I told everyone I want to go throw up on my own toilet. And then I went home and then I started throwing up like crazy. But then I started getting chills and a fever and I started hallucinating. And I'm trying to figure out how could seaweed do this? I also didn't have COVID. I did a test. But how does a piece of seaweed, a little bit, just a tiny bit, how does that throw me off? I had to take today off. I'm a mess.
That's
I'm feeling better now, actually, but
that's good.
I don't know how it does it. I don't know what it is, but I've been cursed by seaweed.
That's
weird.
It's like it was like a chip, right?
It was like a very flat, thin, paper thin piece of seaweed that was seasoned.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, this looks gross. We were in a meeting and we're like, you know, some of us tried it because everything once. And then it just destroyed me. It destroyed me. And then I had a bunch of crazy fever dreams, which apparently were all of me trying to start small businesses that were like keeping me up. The one, though, that I thought was interesting, I'm like, I wonder what this says about me. But I was trying to figure out how could I monetize starting a cult?
That's called being a mega pastor, Andy.
Well, it wasn't. Well, in the dream, I wasn't even focusing as much on because I know yes, you're a mega pastor and then you sell like a book about how successful you are. And I don't know. All I really know about is books and like inspirational calendars and crap. But you guys, I devise.
Tithing, Andy. That's how you get money.
Well, I've got to start the church, but no, I wanted to merchandise, okay? And my brilliant idea as I was rolling back and forth, not trying to throw up, was I was going to start a shoe brand. And my shoe brand was called Born Again, and you can only get my shoes if you join my cult. And I was going to lead the shoe business with my Born Again shoe brand. And guys,
Supreme already does that.
Who?
Supreme. Oh, you don't even know who Supreme is.
I think I do. Aren't they the people who put Supreme on anything and then it sells?
Yes.
Are they a cult?
Yes.
Kinda.
Oh, darn it. I thought
well,
I was.
No. They're a cult. I mean, it's a cult of fashion. It's not.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, this is, oh my God. Supreme is literally what I want to be. I wanted to, except my brand is called Born Again. Well, it's a working title, but that was what I came up with. And then I was like, but I don't know anything about shoes. But hey, I thought it was like the most subtle thing you could wear that would show you're part of my cult. That isn't like too like loud. Does that make sense?
You're going for the sneakerhead demographic, yeah. And I'm here for it, Andy.
Thank you. Like I could even collaborate with them. And then they would have to join my cult. But I don't know, you guys. I got to get good at making shoes for my shoe cult.
Oh, you don't make the shoes.
No?
You test that out.
Children in third world countries will make
it. I don't know, you guys. Like, you have to pay children. You don't have to pay volunteers. Like,
that is a good point.
My whole cult could just be people volunteering to make these, I don't know, instruments of God. And then I was even thinking, too, like, if it's through my church – I think I can dodge taxes with it, right? If I'm selling these shoes as like, I don't know, implements of faith, is that tax exempt? If
I'm doing the work about of God, again?
What's that?
What's this podcast about again?
It's about my fever dream dip into capitalism.
Yeah. It's one thing you seem to be like trying to operationalize it instead of just being like, hey, listen to this crazy dream. When I had a fever dream when I was sick not too long ago, my fever dream was that I had to put a puzzle piece together to move. It's like I had to go, well, if I have to get up, I have to put these puzzles into the floating frame in the sky. Up, right, left, right, up.
Okay. Well, see, that I'm sure that holds a lot of meaning. I don't know how I fell down this, but Derek, what was your last fever dream? Because apparently mine is just focused on businesses. What's going on?
So there's not a definite figure, but the overall vibe is paralysis demon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Do they sit on you?
No, there's no figures, but it's just I'm just conscious, barely able to see around me, but just unable to move. And just not comfortable.
You might seek medication for that, Derek, because that's a shitty experience.
I mean, is it only when you're sick?
No, it was only the last time that I had a very bad gastroenteritis spell. It was mostly dehydration.
Okay. Sure.
Like
after, oh, it's not a regular thing.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just, okay. Just the last time I was in bed. And I was just it just stood out. It was probably only like 30 seconds. And then I just got up and had some Pedialyte.
That's still terrifying. Like were you having a fever?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad it was only 30 seconds. Holy crap.
Oh, I have no clue how long it was.
Oh, okay.
It was still sun up when I got up to get hydration.
Well, yeah. It sucks. You said you're dehydrated. Is your pee supposed to burn when you're dehydrated? I noticed my pee.
No.
No.
Well, my pee was burning. It's
supposed to, you know, it can be a little darker. Could be a little stinky.
It was very dark.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, it must be burning because I don't know. I have no liquid inside me anymore.
No.
I gave it all to God.
It might burn if you have a urinary tract infection.
I was going to say,
that's a UTI.
Come on. All from a piece of seaweed? Get out of here.
Also, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a venereal disease involved. Who can say?
Oh, but since we went back to that, Andy, do you have any seafood or crustacean allergy?
I don't think so. Although I did have salmon the night before.
Okay.
But I'm trying to eat more fish because of my cholesterol.
Interesting. Well, it could have been the salmon from the night before, too.
Really? No, this isn't good. How am I going to lower my cholesterol?
Well, take fish oil. But also, it just means maybe the fish was bad.
Tasted very good.
Yeah, well, sometimes it tastes good, and even though it's bad.
I guess. I just don't know how I was triggered literally within a minute. I could only direct it to that. But yeah, the fever, the chills, the everything. I mostly recovered from it, but, and again, not COVID, but I've been thinking a lot about it, you guys. And so, yeah, please look forward to my cult.
Legal distinction. Again. Andy is not forming a cult.
I mean.
No.
Well, I shouldn't call it a cult, but I can't call it a business because I don't want to pay taxes.
It's a non-profit advocacy group.
There we go.
First off, though, that is pretty much the definition for a cult. And creating cult in itself is not illegal. It's the other things you do
with a cult. I mean, it's looked down upon if you use the word cult.
It's only conspiracy if you're. It's a conspiracy to commit a crime, okay?
Mm. I'm not committing a crime. I'm spreading good.
If you just want to start a pickleball league in your town,
mm-hmm.
go for it. You're not, okay. Well, you're hurting all the tennis courts by over-tightening the nets, but...
Wait, what? This is very specific, Derek. What's going on?
Oh, I think pickleball cultists are a real thing.
Wait, what? Is this, like, infecting your area?
I mean...
If you're unaware, pickleball is low-impact tennis.
I thought that was... what's the one? I want to call it bidet, but I know it's not called bidet.
No, oh, it's not a bidet.
You're thinking of badminton.
Badminton, thank you. Started with a B.
Badminton's actually very intensive because the shuttlecock fucking, that'll go.
Oh, I thought that was low intensity tennis, but you're telling me pickleball is, and it's a plague.
And it's really not that bad. It just infected social media. I noticed that local tennis courts have people over tightening the nets and playing pickleball instead of tennis.
Is it more annoying because it sounds more annoying?
No,
I think the name doesn't help.
I don't care about the name, and it's very accessible for people to and like tennis, and it's nice to see these previously unused tennis courts being used constantly.
Oh, okay.
But they don't have the same exact setup for the courts, so pickleballers will tighten up the nets to the point it'll cause damage to the courts.
Oh,
and
just made me realize I don't know where my tennis racket is. I'm trying to remember the last time I saw that. That might have been a couple apartments ago.
Well, you traded it for a pickleball.
No, man. I looked at, as a person who plays tennis, I look down on people who play pickleball.
Oh, well, apparently it's a cult now.
No, it's not a cult. It's very accessible, and it's because tennis is like tiring.
It's high intensity, hard on your knees, and very good for
your and your joints, just all your joints.
Well, it gives you that thing I had. The why can't I remember what I had? It was tennis elbow, whatever that is. I'm looking now. Oh, so pickleball is like you use a tabletop tennis mat.
Stored. It's a wider racket. And it's a heavier ball too, isn't it? Right.
So there is indoor and outdoor pickleballs.
Oh,
you don't use the indoor ones because they just aren't used, just according to social media. I have not played pickleball. All this is hearsay, but they're a little bit heavier than tennis balls.
Yeah,
from what I can see.
Yeah. It is a paddle. It's not a racket. That's right.
Huh. Well, the more you know. Friends were telling me they just went to go play pickleball. So really, it is the latest fad. Well, I don't want to call it a fad.
White people love it, Andy.
I don't know. Google Images is showing me that people of all types are enjoying
it. Yeah, it's mostly white people.
It's mostly white people because much like golf, it's a sport which you can play while drinking.
Yeah, you can't play pickleball one-handed if you really want to.
Okay, that's fair. Well, I'm sorry that it's become a plague on your city.
No, that was just a joke. I actually appreciate seeing all these people be active and enjoying our public like scapes that were made for people to use.
What a reason.
I think Charles was, former member of the podcast, Charles was complaining that people were playing pickleball a lot at the court by his house.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because he was like, you guys heard of pickleball?
It just showed up.
Yeah.
But I like that framing. It's just people using a public good.
Yes.
I'm not doing
anything. I don't really have any problem with it.
I'm just absorbing your opinions. Okay.
As you should. Again, it's just I have I was trained in real sports.
I learned of it through social media, which immediately makes me distrustful of it. Otherwise, I'd have a positive outlook on it.
Okay. Well, good deal. Good deal. Maybe I'll use them as a model for my own business. All the use. Maybe I'll make pickleball shoes. That's how you get white people.
There's definitely already. Like, I'm looking at the USA Pickleball website. Clothing and apparel is like second thing.
Oh, I am branding on this. Let's go. Oh my God. Do you know how many abandoned churches are everywhere? I could probably just buy them off the city and then turn them into pickleball things.
Really?
Oh yeah, let's go.
You have a lot of abandoned churches.
Listen, you've got all these old buildings that no one can afford to keep up. So let's turn them around into pickleball courts. You can be pickleballing under beautiful stained glass and inspiring high arch ceilings. I think
surely none of this will go poorly.
Nope. Derek just posted a link to some shoes. I don't know if this is born again material though. I'm looking for some some more subtle, but
I'm just letting you know that your business plan has already been capitalized on.
Oh,
multiple large brands selling specifically pickleball shoes.
Derek, do you see how they're reinforced in the toe because you're playing on your toes?
Oh. I do. Okay, well, I'll go back to the drawing board. I'll find my niche.
Speaking of going back to the drawing board,
yes.
Let's actually talk about other things that don't get us in trouble.
I'll give you guys updates. Don't worry.
Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic remake is more than likely dead.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And so with it, my dreams. Knights of the Old Republic, by the way, the 1B favorite game of all time.
This was Ocarina. Your Final Fantasy VII remake. Like, yeah, this was that level for you.
Yes, it was. Yeah. Ocarina of Time is 1A. Knights of the Old Republic is 1B. So Jeff Grubb on his Giant Bomb's Game Mess Morning Show said, "I just want to clear it up. This game is not being worked on right now." Grubb said, "Just full stop. This game is not being worked on in any way at any studio." It was originally announced in 2021, stealing my heart. Like, much to Andy's, like, this was my Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah.
First, it was going to be did by Aspyr Media before Embracer Group shifted it over to Saber Interactive in August of 2022. During his show, Grubb also mentioned the game may have even moved away from Saber Interactive as well. Not in this article that I linked to you guys, but also what I heard is that really this was being done in partnership with Sony, and Sony was really looking for like a big tentpole, you know, third person story narrative game.
Yeah,
to remake this into, which is funny because I associate KOTOR with the original Xbox so much.
Sure.
I think that's where it released.
At least popularized. But
that's where I played it on, at the very least. Embracer, you know, as you may have remember from our other stories, not doing super great. So I think Sony, they're like, "We can't give you what you want, Sony." And Sony's like, "Well, then we're not fucking doing this."
Yeah.
But sense. Yeah, it sounds like no, there will be no Knights of the Old Republic remake, probably for at least another 5 to 10 years, maybe.
Aww. And I think this really begs the question, why is Sony afraid of earning money? If they release this, they would be printing money. This could be the Bloodborne of this generation of selling consoles. And
it's just... I don't, Andy, even have you ever played Knights of the Republic?
I have not, no.
Derek, did you play it?
Yes. I played it on the original release, and I couldn't get through the campaign based on how small the damn text is on the Steam version. It just really, I only just now, this last week, got a 1440p screen before I was on 1080 on both. So that small text was not comfortable to read. Yes, I played it extensively, 1 and 2, on the original releases.
Yeah. Knights of the Republic probably has one of the I want to see better Star Wars stories that like exists. Mm-hmm. Like it is a shockingly good story. And like there's story beats in there that are just so fucking interesting. And I mean, it's what fucking 15, 18, 20 years old at this point. No. So, you know, I don't really have to be careful about spoiling it but just in general, I'm not going to, but it's just that there's like big twists in that game and you like don't really see it coming. Like Derek, mm-hmm. did you see the twist coming?
I did not, but I was also a stupid kid, but let me just
that's true. We were dumb kids when we were playing it. Yeah, that's also true.
But the fact of how good the story was just leads more evidence that my conspiracy theory that Disney is the one killing it.
Oh, wait, I want to hear more.
They can't have a great Star Wars story after what they've released so far.
Andor and Ahsoka were pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I've heard. I need to watch Andor.
I thought we all liked Mandalorian.
Yeah, we do.
And it was still Mandalorian, yes, but...
There was
conspiracy theories back in the day that Disney stopped them from adding content to KOTOR 2 on the Switch. But, you know, this is just more non-conspiracy theory. Nothing true. This is just me making shit up. But
Disney has their own games division now, too. So it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Because having this kind of relationship with Sony, when they're trying to actually build kind of like this weird in-house gaming studio. I don't know.
So does Embracer like own just KOTOR then?
Is that no. This is the thing, right? KOTOR was originally released by BioWare.
Yes.
EA owns BioWare now. But I assume they licensed Star Wars from Lucas because this was pre-Disney buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I assume when Disney bought it, they got the rights to all that. But does EA have any hold on it?
EA lost exclusive rights, but they still have rights to some Star Wars IPs.
Yeah.
If they choose to leverage them. So people think as that maybe they could make a KOTOR game if they
get it. Remember, too, the Old Republic MMO is still going and got an update. Like a new campaign, I want to say like a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. That thing's still going, which I played it. It was a good time.
Yeah.
That was one of the first games where they did the thing where, because it's actually still very narrative focused, even for an MMO. So you all get like a narrative choice when you're in a dungeon, like, and you can all kind of vote and then we'll pick which answer to choose.
Oh, so it's branching even with like,
yeah, so like if you're like thinking about if you're having like a dialogue tree and it's like, okay, you have these four answers you could give to this person. Everyone in the group votes for which answer to give, and then that's the answer that the party gives, essentially. Which I always thought was very interesting. And you kind of see that in other things now, but Old Republic, I think, was the first place that did that.
That's cool.
I
thought I was curious you brought up the Sony thing, because I can see, because I think in that thing too, it says like Sony scrubbed every like.
Yeah, like, this was going to be like a Sony exclusive, which again, very weird.
And I guess I kind of get it now, right? Because like, you know, Microsoft will just owns everything. So I guess Banjo-Kazooie and what were the other ones? Perfect Dark, they're nostalgic properties to us on Microsoft. I was wondering, like, well, why don't they just hand it to Bluepoint or something? Not that Bluepoint is probably not.
Well, Bluepoint's working on something.
They haven't told us, right?
No, they haven't.
No, but like maybe Sony just doesn't have the capacity to do it. But I can see them turning it down, like you said. Like if it was going to be bad, Sony doesn't release like bad games.
I think the scope of what Embracer was thinking of making, it's like, hey, we're just going to do 4K up-res, you know?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, like, you know, like we'll create new assets and stuff like that. But Sony's like, no, you got to like fucking reimagine this game, my dude.
Yeah.
They want a Final Fantasy VII. At least as far as gameplay, if not story, is what you think, James?
Do full
remake. I would assume that's what they would want.
If it was going to be a Sony exclusive, that's what I would expect, yeah. Because they've already up-resed it and everything, right?
Can't
you on your Android?
I mean, I would say they did, but not like if they recreated all the textures, you know what sure. I mean? There's one thing to like just kind of like up-res the textures, and then there's to like recreate them for 4K. Mm-hmm.
Well, then how do you feel about this?
Oh,
knowing that it's stopped, and do you care if it was just going to be something with better textures?
I mean, I would still like it if, because they could probably throw in a couple quality of life. That game shows its age in a lot of places mm-hmm. when you play it now.
Starting so, like, with the inventory.
Yeah.
Derek,
the whole underwater world. Fuck that whole world. But yeah, no, I mean, that game, it could use some spit polish to quality of life it up. And that's what I was expecting. It's like, hey, if you could just speed up some of the old game shit with this, this would be great. I'd be happy with it. Of course, I would love a Final Fantasy VII remake level thing, too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if I was ever really kind of expecting that.
Sure, fair. I was actually expecting like a remake level. Like, to me, it looked like they were going like full in. But
You would need like a real studio. Like, sorry, Embracer Group. You would need like a real studio. Like, you would need like a Blue Point or a Sucker Punch or an Insomniac to really like do that. Like, because the worlds in that game are huge and like varied.
Sure.
Like there's, you go to, I think you go to Alderaan, right, Derek?
That I don't recall specifically.
Oh, I think it's like pre-Alderaan. There's the town that gets the world that gets glassed. But yeah, it's like a huge city, like Midgard level big. So like if you're gonna redo that, it's gonna take a lot of effort. So
maybe you can't really do it. I don't know. Derek, is your heart broken?
My heart is not broken. But I am still disappointed because I would have just taken an upscale with readable text. Like, that's all it would take to win me over. But if this means that we're going to get something better in the future, maybe they'll release something worthy of me to go buy the latest PlayStation console.
We didn't talk about this because it kind of happened in the in-between weeks we've been taking off lately, but they announced and I think ever re-released the essentially slim versions of the PS5 now.
That's right.
Yeah. They're still pretty big, but they're a little smaller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same well, you know what?
You, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know what remake did happen?
What's that?
And met pretty good expectations. That's Super Mario RPG.
That's
out
right.
Now. Currently sitting at an 84 on Open Critic, with 96% of critics recommending it. Tom Marks at IGN gave an 8 out of 10. Super Mario RPG is considered a classic for a reason, and the faithful remake makes it easy to see for anyone who missed it on the SNES era to see why. Steven Petit at GameSpot gave it an 8 out of 10, saying Super Mario RPG is an overtly faithful recreation of the Super Nintendo hit, and this charming adventure has aged quite well. And Timothy Monbleu at Destructoid gave it a 9 out of 10, saying Super Mario RPG is an all-time classic game that both RPG lovers and Mario fans alike owe it to themselves to play. This Switch remake brilliantly preserves the spirit of the original SNES game with some great quality of life enhancements and a phenomenally redone soundtrack. Yeah, Andy, so I think you said you were going to be playing this, right?
Yes. At first I was put off by how squished Mario was, like, in the trailer. But as I reflect on it now, Mario looks fine to me. I don't know what was going on. Maybe I was just looking to be contrarian.
He's mini Mario. He hasn't eaten a mushroom. Yeah.
Well, it was just weird. It gave me a weird vibe. But regardless, that is the pettiest of reasons. People I know who have been playing it, my friends have been really, really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to playing it, but I am not playing it until I beat Xenogears. I am not moving on to another game. I know how I work. I know I'll just abandon it, but that is literally my next game on the docket. I'm thrilled to play it, and I'm thrilled because I forgot that it's a short game.
Yeah, that's actually something people have been saying, which originally it was, I think, pretty short probably 18 to 20 hours. And I think with now the quality of life improvements that they've given, mm-hmm. people are reporting they're finishing it in like 12 to 15 hours.
I bring it. I would love that. And there's extra content, like extra bosses or something.
The secret boss is still in the game.
Andy. Yes, there's a secret boss. And I think there's a couple more things to do. So I'm looking forward to that. But no, I'm pumped. I got over my dumb impression of it. I'm excited for it. What about you guys?
Derek doesn't own a Switch.
Oh, that's right. Weren't you gonna traveling pants him your Switch?
He has to agree to it. He still hasn't.
I'm honestly just about ready given all of the quality games out right now. This one is probably not one that would push me to do that because it's by all accounts a great remaster remake. It's has some quality of life improvements, but at the end of the day, it's a remake of an old classic for a $60 price tag.
It is $60, which
and for Nintendo, yeah, it'll be $60 and
forever.
Yeah, forever.
So
this is a Mario game. Mario games do not go on sale.
So I can appreciate that this game is good. Hopefully a content creator I enjoy will stream it and I'll get to re-experience it because I did play it back in the day. But
oh, you did? Aww. Yeah,
I had the NES. My close family had the SNES. So I was born and raised Nintendo.
Oh, really though? So $60 for like what I guess then, what if they add like a bunch of content or something? Would that make it more worth it? Because I have like I'm fine. Like it looks like they did a complete remake of it.
They right? did. They it's not, I mean,
like to an up-res.
To the same level of like Link's Awakening, I would say.
Sure.
Okay, but it's competing for every single Mario game of this generation.
That's fair. Like,
yeah, Wonder had just came.
Wonder, yeah,
Wonder came out like yeah. 3 weeks ago. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, when you put it that way, I hear ya.
I don't know. I mean, it's Nintendo's going to charge what Nintendo's going to charge. I think, like what was it? Metroid Prime Remastered, I think, was like $40.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I bought it at 60 and yeah. That's fine because I know it's never going to go on sale. Mm-hmm. I think if it was like 50, I would feel a lot better about this game.
For some reason in my brain, it's just a new game. I don't know why, but maybe just because it looked like there's like the quality of it is so high. It just, to me, I just considered it a new game.
Yeah. It might be because the original was like over 25 years ago.
What's that? But it looks like that. I mean, fair. It's interesting now because I literally just like never even considered that it is just a remake. But like you called out, maybe it's just nostalgia. And so like, you know, my wallet is open to it, but
I never played Super Mario RPG. So this will be my first experience with it.
Well, you'll enjoy it then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I think this is a must buy if you played this and you have a kid. Who is old enough, like 5+. Like, I think 7+ is better, but it looks fairly approachable for even a young kid.
Yeah, I think I played it in like 4th grade. I don't know how old people are in 4th grade, but that's when I played it and I absolutely adored it. And I'm glad that people get to experience it now. And I've never played a Mario RPG since.
It came out in 96, so...
How old was I then? 96?
I was 10.
I was 8?
Yeah.
Because I bought it when it came out, I'm pretty sure. I remember it was the first game I ever bought. I saved up for so long for it. So 8 years old? Am I 8 years old in 4th grade? Was I younger?
I don't think I made decisions about what to get to the SNES. The N64 is when I got to get games. My brother made decisions about
this. Sure. Well, your brother has good taste.
Well, he didn't get Super Mario RPG.
Yeah. Well, so I must have played it younger then. I didn't know I could function as like a human before 4th grade.
Now, hold on. You also have to account that back in the day, you didn't have to buy the latest and greatest game. If you didn't watch certain channels or you didn't subscribe to the game,
yeah, there were no influencers. Yeah.
You weren't pushed to go buy this game. You'd go to Blockbuster and see, oh, like I played the Mario before. Let's try that. So you may have, like, who knows whenever you actually played it.
Honestly, this one, though, I bought it because of the commercial. Because the graphics blew me away. And I was like, I need to play this. The graphics are so good. And I remember it was like a, like, I think it was like an old man in a rocking chair. And then, like, he was blown away by how good the graphics were or something. And I'm like, well, I need this. I need this. I gotta look. What was the Super Mario RPG commercial? I swear to God, it was an old man. Not Derek, your grandpa's Mario.
Derek, do you know what my rental game was that I would get all the time?
Sure.
Magical Quest starring Mickey Mouse.
Oh, that's a good one.
That was a great game.
Yeah.
I think I rented that game like 10 times.
Did you ever beat it?
Yeah.
So mine was 2. It was either the game tied into Shrek 2. Yes.
Wait, that was
terrible, terrible quality.
Yes.
And a game called Brute Force, which was
like a
squad-based third-person shooter. Like, characters had different abilities. It's all really a blur now. But middle school, sleep overnight, that was the jam.
Brute Force, you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm watching someone playing Magical Quest now, and it's triggering memories in me.
Is it bringing you back?
Yeah. No, I was just how fucking hard this game is.
I don't know if I had a rental game. I remember when I would rent games, it was like I wanted to try as many different games as possible. So I would just keep changing.
We had a video store in our supermarket.
Same.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would, while mom was shopping, I would go just kind of walk through the game section, be like, what's new?
Oh my gosh. I remember one game I always wanted to own, though, from the grocery store one was Smart Ball. and just because you could climb the wall. I thought that was the coolest thing. That was the future. Smart Ball could climb up a wall. And my dumb little kid brain wanted that game so bad. And then eventually that grocery store sold it and I bought it from it. And it was made by Sony on the SNES. But yeah, I'm excited for this game, though. I also found the commercial, and there is one about an old man just yelling. And then he puts his teeth in a like a dentures thing, and it says play it loud on it because Nintendo was.
Well, we've talked about old Nintendo commercials being weirdly edgy.
God, you know what? God bless them, though. Ooh, well, I'm excited for it.
You know what RPG has not come to such critical acclaim as Mickey's Quest and Super Mario RPG.
What's that?
And Brutal Force.
And Brutal Force, yeah.
That's Starfield.
Oh.
Starfield has dropped to a mixed rating on Steam.
And not just Steam. If you go to the Xbox store, you'll see that it's at a paltry 3.5 stars.
Whoa.
With 23.5K reviews.
Now, so, is this the one where like people in other countries were like review bombing it or something?
Russia was review bombing because there was no localization for very obvious reasons with the landscape. But there are legitimate reasons to not be completely satisfied with Starfield, even though I think it is a very strong contender for comfiest chill out game.
Oh, like,
that's released this year, but it lacks the mod support. So if the mod support came out tomorrow, I'd say mixed.
I mean, it has a shit ton of mods already. I mean, I had like 30 mods running when I was playing it.
It does, but from what I understand, they still have not released some key files that would allow further
script. Yeah, the script extenders and stuff
to like make people naked.
No, you can already do that. I bet.
Okay.
Like there's.
Oh yeah, no, that was Andy. No, you could do.
But just like any Bethesda game, its main strength is going to be what the community does with it.
Sure.
Yeah. I've fallen a bit out of love with Starfield. And it's interesting because I've heard this from several people now, which it really mirrors what I went through with Starfield. Was you start playing Starfield, you're like, I don't, it's not great. Mm-hmm. And then it clicks and you're like, this game is fucking great and I'm loving it. Mm-hmm. And then for some reason you hit this weird wall and you go, I don't want to play it anymore. And I'm not the only person I've seen say that, where it's that, like,
happened to my friend too. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, you get, it's so weird. It's so weird that a game can, like, you fall in and out of love with it while you're playing it. And that's not something, it's usually clicks or it doesn't click. I think that speaks to the fact that it's the world of Starfield and the mechanics of Starfield are sound.
Sure.
But there's just not quite enough there to keep you interested.
Well, I just hear those planets are boring.
Yeah, there was There was an article. Yeah. Well, we've talked about this before. My whole thing is it's just fucking cutscene to cutscene, cutscene to cutscene. Or not cutscene, loading screen.
Yes.
But, and that kills a bit of the immersion and a bit of the fun, where I'm just kind of like, I'm just really trying to run through as quickly as possible to get through the loading screens to do the things that are more interesting. But yeah, I don't know. It's just, yeah, I hit a point with that Starfield where I'm like, yeah, I'm done with it.
And like the story isn't compelling enough to finish it.
I finished it.
Then leave it, whatever.
No, I know. But like, we've talked about this on the spoiler podcast, but the end of the story is not the end of the story. So it's, but
the end of the story brings up questions on why the end of the story doesn't seem to translate to the rest of your playthrough.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's a weird game that I think, I don't know, a Starfield, like, I think a Starfield 2 might be better, but I don't know. I don't know if they're going to come back to it. It's definitely not going to win any game of the years. I mean,
no. Should it be nominated?
I think so. I think it should get at least a nod. And I think it did in the game. Oh, actually, no, it didn't. It got snubbed in the Game Awards. And I don't think Keelys? It got. Yeah, the Keelys. I don't think it got any nods in the Game Awards.
You know what? Like, kudos to Jeff Keighley then. He's not, you know, cozied up to, what was the meme? Like Mountain Dew and something else or whatever. Like,
probably Mountain Dew and Doritos.
It was nominated for one game award, which is Best RPG of the Year, which is not going to be Baldur's Gate.
Oh, yeah. But to not be nominated for Game of the Year, like with the amount of money behind it and Xbox involvement and how important it is, for some reason, and maybe this is an unfair characterization of IGN as well, but I always just like picture them like, you know, just like puppeteered by the big companies or whatever, which is not fair. And I don't think it should be, you know, I don't even think it's true, but that's just kind of how I viewed the Game Awards, was just like a giant circle jerk among all the big companies. But I guess not if Starfield's not nominated. Wow.
Yeah. I don't know. I think it's also just the staying power of the game. Like it didn't capture, I think, the zeitgeist. Like, people are still talking about Baldur's Gate 3.
That's right. Baldur's Gate was just a couple of weeks before, wasn't it?
Yeah. And people are still talking about Final Fantasy 16 to a certain extent. People are playing Spider-Man 2. I don't know enough. I don't know if we're gonna do a Game of the Year this year, because I haven't finished everything, and you two are not gonna have enough of opinion about things to do anything.
Nominate Xenogears.
Yeah. Okay.
I beat Final Fantasy 16.
I haven't seen Spider-Man 2, like, really, like, again, I don't see a lot of it capturing, like, the internet. Like, people played it and they enjoyed it, but I don't see a lot of staying power of, like, people just keep, you know, living in that world.
I think it really might be a problem of too many good games.
It definitely is. Like,
there's just too many. And I think everybody loved Spider-Man 2, but there was just more to do or more to move on to.
I mean, there's also the impact of its platform. Like, if it was on every platform, there'd be a lot more discussion going on.
Well, I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 was only on PC, and then a month later, it was on PS5.
Yeah, but
then...
what percentage of the all gamers play... Let's ignore mobile. What percentage of all gamers play on PC versus consoles?
More on PlayStation. PlayStation is beats PC.
Really? For like total game?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh wow. Here, let's get this. Let's get.
I am being corrected here.
Oh,
Derek, I just assumed that since the PC was a superior platform, that everyone else would.
Oh, Derek, it's the superior platform.
Does PC have more players than consoles? What percentage of gamers are PC versus console? Apparently, there are 1.8 billion gamers in the world. Okay, no, 60. This is from, I don't know, who can say how correct these numbers are. But 62% play CC games, 56% play console games. So, yeah, PC games are edging out console games by 6%.
I think for a long, long time it was a majority. I think it was a very recent turnaround to PC.
Yeah, I would say console for a long time beat out PC.
You have to remember China, Korea, and Japan,
Russia,
PC bangs. Russia. Well, no, PC cafes were the primary way for youths to start playing.
Well, I guess the other thing, too, is like good PC ports are a fairly new thing, like in the past 10 years.
I mean, PC ports are a different discussion. It's more games that are there, like StarCraft.
Oh, I see.
StarCraft 2, Counter-Strike. Like, those games drove, and League of Legends. Those games drive people to the PC cafes when they don't have a console or PC. Console cafes are a very rare thing. I know one of them in town that's... consoles are very underused, so it was still my assumption, and it seems like consoles are right up there.
Yeah, I'll say I found one that says consoles have the slight lead, so yeah, I think it's just somewhere along the edge.
Here's another thing, just based on like sales numbers. So like in 2022, video games earned like an estimated $92 billion, and they're saying essentially $51 billion of that was on console, while $38 billion of that was on PC.
Now, does that console include mobile devices, which would include
mobile game revenue? I think it completely does not include mobile.
Okay. Yes. Well, I stand corrected on my main point. But the other point is it's missing 2/3 of its big slice of the pie and almost half the other side of the pie. So I think if it reached out to at least one other console or PC, there'd be a lot more hype for it.
It could be. Yeah. But it'll end up there in a couple of years. And I'm sure Sony still made a ton of money.
And if I ever do play it, I'm turning off the web assist. I'm going to just...
Oh, you're not a casual.
Oh no! I just want to feel pain.
crash into the fucking wall.
I love that it has that setting where you can make it less assisting, and you'll drift with the direction of your web. So you reach onto a building, you won't just keep going straight like you expect. You're gonna swing into the building, or you do it too late. Well, too bad. You're gonna hit the ground instead of the physics and then cheating for you.
Is that not how it worked in the first one?
I don't know about the first one.
Oh, I don't know. Sure. I don't think web assist was a setting in the first
one. Okay. I just remember loving the feeling in the first one, but it sounds like it wasn't as hardcore as Derek's web slinging.
No, the default is to have all that on.
Oh, so I liked the baby mode.
I mean, I also liked the baby mode when I played it on PS4, but I also just want to play with the physics of it.
It's a
modern AAA game. They give me the option. Of course, I'm going to go try hardcore mode, and I may get completely filtered out and have to go back, but I'll try it.
The power of option, the appeal of an option. Well, if I ever play it, maybe I'll give it a try.
Well, you know who is killing it?
Who?
Not Starfield. But Netflix.
Oh?
Yeah, and let's have a story about Netflix about how they're not raising their prices again for like the fifth time in a year.
Oh, God. I need to cancel my Netflix.
Should you, Andy? Because right now, I am having a great time on Netflix.
Tell me what you're watching.
So, recently, right? So they had the One Piece live action adaptation.
Which was good. As a staunch not One Piece fan, I'm not going to give him the Stockholm Syndrome. I stopped at Skypiea. I was forced by peer pressure to do Skypiea. The One Piece adaption was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. With
the Japanese dub.
My partner, who has never read One Piece or watched One Piece or in general likes anime, liked it. She also liked the Cowboy Bebop live action. So that's a point against her.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, all accounts, very positive. It's been renewed for season two, by the way. And I know the writers and the actor strike have fucked it up, but I remember too that the showrunners were saying, you know, we could potentially be back next winter with season two.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah. Well, I think like they have all the scripts done.
Oh, I hear you. I hear you. Okay.
Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see when it comes back. But that's not all. I mean, right now, two new shows that have released recently is Blue-Eyed Samurai and Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. And they are fantastic.
Oh.
Blue-Eyed Samurai is basically a revenge samurai story and incredibly graphic, incredibly adult. Like it's animated, but it's very adult. Like, what would it be? Like, think of like a madhouse, like Ninja Scroll. Like it is gory and there are boobs and And it's a great story. Like I fight choreography is fantastic. Story is fantastic. I stayed up watching it. Each episode's also like almost an hour, so you like really sit in there and you get to live in the episodes.
Who's the studio? Sorry.
I don't know. It's an American studio, I think. You know.
It's an American adult animated. Like as you're talking, for some reason my mind went to Afro Samurai.
Yeah.
I just remember it being like just violent and great. I love that.
So Netflix Animation and Blue Spirit, which I don't know.
So Blue Spirit, it did it.
Yeah.
But what have they done? Oh, I don't need a yoga retreat.
Ugh. Scott Pilgrim Takes Off. I don't want to spoil too much of it. It is not just a faithful readaption of Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, and
it is a new story.
Oh.
And really good, actually, and it actually takes a lot of the criticisms of the original Scott Pilgrim story and kind of addresses them,
like the comic book.
Yeah, well, the comic book and the movie, I guess, technically, because a lot of them is like Scott Pilgrim's kind of a shitty person, and they do kind of address that in the original story as well, but this one they really address it.
Oh,
yeah. So it's. Yeah, I would highly, if you, and Anamanaguchi is back and they did a lot of music for it. But I guess this is to say, like the original Scott Pilgrim was like this love letter to like 90s video games and, you know, kind of pop culture of the 90s. Mm. Scott Pilgrim Takes Off as kind of a love letter to like pop culture of the 2000s and 2010s. Like there's a ton of anime references in it.
That's neat.
Would I need
to know the source material?
Absolutely not.
Cool.
If you know the source material, you'd appreciate the differences.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's its own contained story.
I don't know.
It's funny, and they make an end of Evangelion reference.
Well, I gotta watch it then. If Ava's involved, let's go.
Honestly, ready. Too, if you want to think about it in a certain way, it's almost it takes some keys from Evangelion Rebuild.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. The only negative I'll give you on Scott Pilgrim is it's missing background music in some fights, which is weird because they use a lot of licensed music everywhere.
Yeah.
But suddenly when they're fighting, there's like, nope. Maybe it was just the mix on my TV. I don't know. But it was just kind of silent and just lots of and I was like, I guess, whatever.
You're kind of selling me on it. I think I have a like a poser or poser's not the right
it's
word.
only 8 episodes, each episode's only 30 minutes.
Okay. That's very doable. I'm trying to watch content that isn't YouTube, especially after the realization of how much I watched last episode we talked.
And then hours. just Castlevania Nocturne came out recently too, which is the next Castlevania show. Mm-hmm. If you watch the original one, this new one's pretty good. I think they definitely cut the budget down on the animation a little bit, but I think overall the story is still pretty damn good.
Is it starring Alucard, or am I making that up?
No, this one is about what's his name?
Or is it a new character?
No, well, I mean, it's new for the show. Yeah. It's the one from Rondo of Blood. I can't remember his name. Wow. Richter Belmont. There it is. And then also, there's a Yu Yu Hakusho live action adaptation coming out, and the trailer released not too recently ago. Again, looks like they're taking the One Piece route with it, which is they're adapting it how the anime was, but they're just kind of playing with it. And like, Netflix is killing it. Like, they're giving nerd content like great and a lot of great content. Like, this is there's been long periods of times where I'm like, why the fuck do I have Netflix?
Nothing. I'm a little torn on the Yu Hakusho though.
Ooh, I want to hear.
So, are we just gonna do spoilers for what happened in the anime since it was fucking 90s?
Well, I mean, I was
just called out. I was just like, I haven't seen Yu Yu Hakusho.
Okay. So there's.
I might need to watch it.
Okay. So Yu Hakusho is arguably the prime force that led to one-on-one fights overtaking the shonen genre. Oh,
really?
Yeah. So
it was definitely it had like one of the first battle tournaments, didn't it, Derek?
Yes, it had.
Yes,
it had multiple battle tournaments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it really drove home that there was, of course, key moments where you had two characters fighting together against one strong enemy who's just appeared. And usually it's followed by a one-on-one encounter later. But this one had, the trailer had fighting against like mooks and had multiple on one fighting, which it seems against the premise of Yu Hakusho, but given that it's live action and it's this far gone, I'm not going to say no, it's going to be bad. Because
are you talking about how in the trailer they had the four of them fighting Toguro for the first time?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, but it was Kuwabara and him, so it wasn't like a one-on-one.
Yeah, it was Kuwabara and him, and they, by the skin of their teeth, got a strong enough hit to get him to retreat.
Yeah.
And I'll avoid going further, but that one, I'm going to have to see how the fight concludes, is why I'm not like saying it's completely going against what Yu Hakusho presented itself as. Yeah. But the 5-second sequence of him fighting people, just like one punching him away, like a kung fu movie. I just didn't like that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think if they, Yu Yu Hakusho is kind of a weird show, like in general. So I think if they lean into it being weird, and they seem like they are, because what's his name? Kodama?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they have him with, they kept the pacifier in his mouth and everything like that.
That's so. The one thing I didn't want to bring up. They had him in adult form in the trailer.
Well, it's kind of hard to have a baby unless you just CGI it the entire time. So I can understand that for trying to keep the prices down, but they kept the pacifier in. So
yeah, but if they greenlight this to season 3, that misses a pivotal moment.
They played with that in One Piece, though. They changed things. Like, remember, Don Krieg didn't show up. He was in it for all of 10 seconds.
Yes, but it happened so closely with the teacher's transformation that it was just,
I know,
it just worked so well. So missing out on that.
This is me telling you in general, though, if you have a Netflix subscription and you're like, I guess I have it, go on there and give a couple of these shows a try.
Sure.
I mean, Blue-Eyed Samurai, definitely. If you have any interest in animation, go watch that. Mm-hmm. Andy, I would even say watch that before you watch Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's real good.
Mm-hmm.
But we can talk about that on another episode of Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a new show. I've been your host, James, the brown-eyed samurai.
Oh.
And Hartwell. And I've been joined by...
Oh, darn it. Andy, the supreme of the saved? Sure? I'm trying to go for alliteration. K. And I've been joined by...
Derek the Tardy, Costiha.
Tardy? When were you tardy?
When you went off on a tangent at the start.
Wait, what? I don't get it, but I'll always support you.
Mm-hmm. Good night.
Good night.
Good night and happy holidays, everyone.
Aw, yeah.
If you're in America, enjoy Turkey Day. Yeah. And if you're in the rest of the world, enjoy working on Thursday, suckers.
Get wrecked.
Bye.
Don't get wrecked. I'm sorry. Enjoy your day.